Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Portland Mennonite. As we've heard already this morning, in the rhythm of the church year, this is the fourth Sunday of Easter. And as we've also heard, it's referred to as the Good Shepherd Sunday. The text from John refers to a shepherd tending their sheep, and it's paired in the lectionary with the familiar words of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside still waters. So this past week, I've thought a lot about sheep as a stand-in for followers of Jesus, and I remain unsure as to whether it's a helpful metaphor or not. Maybe after church you can walk up to me and you can tell me if you think using sheep to describe Jesus' followers is a good idea or a bad one. You knew it was coming. All right. The biblical texts from these Sundays after Easter also tell the story of the first Jesus followers as they tried to make sense of Jesus' death. The story includes the shocking news that many of them have begun making claims of encountering a living Jesus who's been walking through walls, joining people on hikes without being recognized, and giving fishing tips down on the beach by the Sea of Tiberias. These experiences shook these early Jewish Jesus followers to their very core, and it reinterpreted their own sacred texts to them, and they now saw evidence of what they were experiencing foretold when they read those texts. They had encountered the Messiah, not the one they were waiting for, a warrior that was going to defeat their enemies with force, but rather they were claiming to have seen death itself conquered. And the fear that had caused them to huddle in a locked room after Jesus was crucified was gone, and they set about building a community that remembered his life and words and was filled with the spirit of this extraordinary man whom they loved. And this community, as the gospel writers tell it, would struggle to be absorbed by the Jewish tradition in which they had grown up, and it would eventually expand to include the Gentile world. And as we will hear on Pentecost Sunday, it would give birth to what we now call the church. As I was reading these texts this week, I knew I should probably be mining them for some new theological insight that might be relevant to us here as we continue that same church here in Portland, Oregon. But my mind kept returning to the season that our church here at PMC is presently in. And that season is the retirement of a much-loved pastor and the unknowns of a future with a new pastor. And I suppose if the metaphor for sheep is to be used, then Rod has been our shepherd for the last 25 years. And seeing as Rod's not here this morning, I thought it might be a very appropriate time to talk about him behind his back. Our church is entering a season where it might feel that we don't have a shepherd. It might feel like a season where it's just us sheep. Now, sheep are interesting animals, as we've already heard this morning. And at the risk of getting an email from LaVon and Joe, defending their woolly friends, I do want to share a few stories with you. This one's also has dead sheep in it, Barry, sorry. In 2005, in eastern Turkey, about 2,000 unattended sheep fell off of a cliff while their shepherds were eating breakfast. And the first 450 fell to their death in a ravine, but the remaining 1,550 sheep were saved because the first 450 broke their fall. Now, I've spent way too much time trying to think through all of the physics of this story and the random justice of why the 450th sheep still met her fate, but the 450th sheep survived. I have a confession to make. A big reason why I applied to be a pastor here at PMC was because of Rod Stafford. I heard him lead a morning devotional at a Mennonite denominational convention, and I was very impressed by him. And when I've been interviewed here, I sensed that he was someone I could work with, but even more, I sensed that he loved the children and the youth of this congregation, and that he was going to be my number one supporter as I filled my role. Now, over the years, I've heard many people tell me that the reason that they came to PMC or have stayed at PMC after visiting is because they discovered Rod and his preaching. And for many of us, Rod's the only pastor we've ever known. I think the danger that we face now as a group of sheep is that without our trusted leader, we may be tempted to wander away. And I suppose that the warning that I want to leave with you is that if you do feel you need to wander off after Rod retires, at least wait until enough sheep That's probably a bad joke. All jokes aside, I do see this coming season as a season where my hope and prayer is that we commit in new ways to go through this transition together with all of us. I'm going to miss Rod, but I've learned that the richness of this community is much deeper than just Rod's leadership. Another thing that I learned about sheep this week is that if they end up on their back, they can die because they don't have the ability to get back up without help. I can already imagine scenarios where Kristen and I are going to feel like we are stuck on our backs without Rod's gift of organization. And I can imagine that if you're on a committee that Rod is serving on, that you might also be thinking that come September, your work's going to be stuck on its back and can't get up. Being on a committee with Rod usually felt like someone was steering. And in my experience, that was a good feeling. When a sheep can't get up, it's called being cast. And it's simply a result of their center of gravity shifting and they can't find their feet. The big problem is that gases can begin to form in their stomach and they can die in just a few hours. So a farmer or a shepherd who finds a cast sheep in time will often just straddle them, prop them up, you know, waiting for circulation to return to the sheep's legs. And when it does, the sheep is good to go, no worse for the wear. I think the image that I want to leave with you is that as we enter this new post-Rod era, I hope that all of us as a congregation will be on the lookout for cast sheep among us. Maybe it's going to be the worship committee that where the weight of planning Sunday mornings is no longer going to be carried by Rod. Or maybe it's the care team, which Rod leads, or the racial justice team, or the Mennonite Action Group seeking peace in the Middle East. Maybe it's in areas of the church where the energy of the transition has siphoned off volunteer energy and programs are suffering. In this image, I hope you will consider helping to prop up these committees or individuals that are feeling stuck. Sometimes it doesn't have to be a long-term commitment. Sometimes it's just that we need a little help until we can get our legs under us again. Now, as I said, I'm not convinced that sheep offer a good metaphor for us as a congregation, but for this period, while we're in this transition, there are a few characteristics of sheep that perhaps we should emulate. For example, sheep do not do well on their own. They're herd animals. And there are studies that suggest sheep can recognize up to 50 other sheep and remember them for up to 2 years. Sheep seem to have the ability to build friendships with other sheep. And what they lack in direction, they make up for in loyalty, friendship, and voice recognition of both humans and other sheep. A researcher and author, Julian Stodd, wrote in an article about the size and function of online communities that communities both online and in person are largely self-organizing. When people join, they take familiar, predictable roles. Some people step in as leaders, some as trusted sidekicks, some as comics, some as observers, some are rude, and some are nurturing, and so on. Large communities can be viewed as being made up of smaller ones, linked by common interests and common individuals. He says, in essence, the community is just made up of a series of personal networks. Now, this is nothing new. We have talked about PMC being a collection of dispersed networks for a long time now. But perhaps the thing that we have not said very clearly is that what we are talking about is friendships. Not just any friendships, but friendship that has as its motivating center the quest to follow Jesus together through a complicated world. In 2008, Mennonite Mission Network published a booklet written by Palmer Becker that attempted to describe what an Anabaptist Mennonite was. And Palmer suggests that our tradition has three core beliefs. First, that Jesus is the center of our faith. Secondly, that community is the center of our lives. And thirdly, that reconciliation is the center of our work. I think you probably heard those before. Rod has used the metaphor of the centered set here at PMC many times. And we often talk about the fact that not many fences and gates are needed around a community that has a strong center. And I suppose that the metaphor of cows gathering around good alfalfa could also mean a place where we can peacefully lie down in green pastures and drink from still waters. Now, it's easy to throw out spiritual sounding sound bites that explain how Jesus is that center. What I want to recognize this morning is that our center has felt like Jesus because I know that Rod reflects Jesus in his life. And what I want us to remember is that our next pastor does not need to reflect Rod Stafford, but simply reflect the same Jesus that Rod reflected. The hay in the middle is going to stay the same. The shepherd calling us toward it, that's going to change. Now, Palmer Becker's second characteristic of an Anabaptist Mennonite is that community is the center of our lives. And last week, Kristen outlined the many ways that groups here at PMC are seeking to create space for authentic friendships to grow in this congregation. They're not only going to be needed as we journey through the coming years, but they are the bedrock of our ability to care for one another. Community during this transition is going to be so important. This desire to support relationships is a regular part of leadership table conversations and prayers when we think about this congregation. My hope and prayer is that you find your 50 other sheep here at PMC, people who you can greet on a Sunday morning with a smile of recognition. But my deeper hope is that you find a small group of friends that you can feel are on the journey of life with you. These deeper friendships are the strength and the foundation of this congregation. These friendships are the reason that when we talk about seeking the peace of the city, we don't imagine doing it alone. As Becker suggests, reconciliation is the center of our work, but it's something that we do together. Together, we can be part of knitting back together the conditions needed for families to return to the safety of housing. And together, we can pressure our political leaders to find compassion for victims of war, and we can gather aid for refugees. And together, we can continue to shape our congregational vibe into something homey and authentic for people suffering the brunt of hateful political culture wars. And together we can grow into people who dismantle racism and confront the evils of white supremacy and Christian nationalism. As we go through this transition together, I implore you to stay away from the cliffs, to help each other stay on our feet, to lean into our friendships, to keep Jesus as our central identity, and to continue to seek peace together. To say it another way, God, take our ears and hear through them. Take our minds and think through them. And take our hearts and set them on fire for Christ's sake.